This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen. Let's talk about DigoRide. So DigoRide resumed operations yesterday after getting approval from the Land Public Transport Authority. They commenced operations in the Klang Valley as the very first bike e-hailing service. Now, if you remember, DigoRide was founded by Nabil Faisal Bamadash, who's also the CEO, which started operations in 2016 before being banned in 2017.
Yes, and this was back then. They had been in operation for 3 months and completed about 20,000 bookings before it was banned by the then government. So speaking about today, the launch was yesterday, and Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq said that the DigoRide will help create 5,000 jobs for riders, with salaries ranging from 1,500 ringgit to about 3,500 ringgit, and praised the ride-hailing service for its initiative to provide employment opportunities for the B40 youths. DigoRide is, however, currently under a proof of concept period, which is slated to end, last until the end of June this year.
Now, potential riders need to be at least 18 years of age, have full licenses and insurance, and also own a motorcycle of 150cc and above. Riders will also only cater to passengers of their own gender. As a result, their CEO called on more female riders to sign up.
So this is an interesting development, right? Because you wonder how DigoRide is going to fare now that it's in full operations. You know, how this six-month proof of concept period, what kind of developments are we going to be seeing in their operations, and whether or not that will be enough to sustain them if and when eventually Gojek starts to expand outside of Indonesia and moves into the Malaysian market. Because we've spoken about that before. And typically, you know, in a situation like this, yes, so someone like DigoRide would have a kind of a first mover's advantage as the only bike hailing company to really have actually managed operations. But Gojek is comparable to Grab in terms of their size and scale, and the fact that they have ambitions of being a super app. So will they come in eventually and muscle over DigoRide?
I think that will be interesting to see, because the very important point you made there was the super app feature. It's the reason that people who, if you're not ride hailing, but you still have Grab on your phone, because there are a multitude of services that you can employ, from delivery to Grab Pay. And as we were talking about this morning during the 6 a.m. stretch, the front page of the Star was how big e-payments have become and e-wallets. But you know, if I'm just taking a look at the poll results from that we posted earlier. Now that DigoRide is back, will you be using it? And 46% have said no, with just 20% saying yes, and a not sure camp of 19%. 15% of people said that they have their own ride. This is based on 146 votes, and of course we have to keep in mind the demographic that our poll reaches, but still that's quite a resounding result there, 46%.
Well, it's actually surprisingly a point also echoed by the Gojek founder himself, okay, because he was interviewed in November, and this is according to the New Straits Times. So Raditya Wibowo said that Malaysians are not in the culture of being passengers ferried on motorcycles. So they are coming into Malaysia. They are looking at getting approval from the government to start by January, which is this month. But he says riding a Gojek for the first time can be a scary experience. So he thinks that the market or Malaysia, we need a solution. Gojek needs a solution that can be well received by customers and riders in Malaysia, because this, you know, motorbike use is common, but it doesn't have the kind of reach, let's say, in markets like Vietnam and Thailand, where it's very common to kind of, you know, hail a motorbike.
Yeah, it also comes down to that consumer behavior, Roshan, just exactly what you're talking about, that people aren't used to getting on someone else's bike and going around, where else we were used to taxis for many, many years. And it works in Indonesia because they have different issues and hurdles for the consumer to get over. But here we're still very used to riding in cars. I will be interested to see how DigoRide does, though, because that will be the litmus test. And if they do well, who knows, maybe Gojek will accelerate plans. And then, Lin, your question will come up. Can DigoRide last against this unicorn coming in?
Yeah. So you know, here in Malaysia, we complain a lot about the traffic jam, right? But most of us will still get into a car and drive into the traffic jam because we, you know, seemingly have no choice.
Yeah. But it's there are no alternatives.
Yes. But in other countries, in order to beat horrendous traffic jams, people jump onto motorbikes instead. So it's an interesting sort of consumer behavior study, really. But taking a look at some of the responses that we've had to this poll, also do kind of shed some light on some of the complaints that perhaps reservations people might have about using Digo Ride, because one listener, KLSSW, says that not sure many will dare use it given the way that our motorcyclists ride. Take a look at the food delivery riders. So this is coming in, this is touching on the safety concerns.
Yeah, I mean, something that the Digo Ride boss himself actually is aware of. I mean, in this article, Malaysian Reserve, he said that the main objective of the company is to provide the service with safe as a priority. So they are going to be investing in technology to ensure the safety and security of everyone on the road. I think there will be tracking of movement so that you know where the motorbike has gone, and also the customer. They're also going to provide safety helmets, hair nets, and masks also. To kind of, I guess it's pollution is one thing. And also, you know, there is some ickiness about using somebody else's helmet, right? I confess, that's my big bugbear.
Yeah, when I go go-karting, that's the same thing. I'm using someone else's helmet. I'm like, you've probably sweated quite a bit in this helmet. But, you know, it's about, I guess, function over the value of that trip, over the temporary ickiness, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the other challenge is, can Digo Rides attract enough riders? You know, mm-hmm. because like they say, there's going to be gender separation, right? So for females, are there going to be enough female Digo riders offering this service? Or is it really just going to end up being men using the service then? Because there's only male riders. Because even on the road, when you observe, there's definitely more male riders than there are motorbike riders than female.
Yeah, so that's going to be one of the pains that I think a Digo Ride's going to have to overcome. I, for one, would love to give it a try. I'd probably try it at least once just to see kind of whether it's something that I would continue to use in future. What about you guys?
I'm on the not sure erring to no camp.
I will try. I said that with a bit of a deep breath, but I will. Because you think about it, it's all about last mile connectivity, right? I mean, I'm not going to use this Digo Ride service if, let's say, I'm going from here, which is in Menara Ken in Damantun, all the way to, let's say, Subang Jaya Airport. I mean, that's too long a ride, right?
Yes.
But I would use it, let's say, if I needed to get from here to, let's say, Mutiara Damansara, which is like 2-3 km away. It makes perfect sense. But of course, it's down to pricing, because one of our listeners, I think he tweeted in, and the differential between the Grab and the Digo Ride this morning was only 30 cents, so it didn't make much sense. And also the weather, because if it rains, I'm not going to get on a motorbike. I don't want to get wet.
Yeah, but our producer saw that and he was curious. So he checked it out and he looked at the price for a ride from Damantun to Mid Valley. And it was 13 ringgit, and getting a Grab in the same distance would have been like 21, 22 ringgit. So I guess that there's a difference there, almost half price.
Yeah, I think it's just a question. It's going to be driven by algos and demand and supply, right? Mm-hmm. So as more people sign up for Digo to be a rider, definitely the prices will come down.
So I wonder how the demand supply, the fact that it's gender segregation, affects the surge pricing.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm curious to do too. So I've already downloaded the Digo Ride app and I'm going to be testing it out and to compare kind of the prices between me and perhaps our producer. And I'll come back and let you know how it goes. But also this morning, we have a bit of a transport and e-commerce theme going. And another story we have that kind of merges both of these is the fact that NinjaVan, which is a logistics company, they've said they're open to the possibility of using drone deliveries. Now, they have said that they do need to adapt to the rising demand of e-commerce in the region. And they have identified Malaysia as potentially the first country to launch such a service in.
Now, according to the NinjaVan's regional head of business-to-business, Sham Alexander, the technological advancements happening in the e-commerce is not limited to just drone delivery. They're also looking to move their warehouses towards more automation. Now, the vital aspect of keeping up with e-commerce's growing demand is to ensure that NinjaVan will remain agile while facing a shifting economic landscape. And this we know because the e-commerce segment is actually particularly very, very competitive. And we just need to look at one listed company, which is is post-Malaysia, because we saw a decline in their post-Laju revenue. It used to be one of the biggest money earners for them, and that's not the case, because now suddenly we have so many new players coming on stream. We have GDAX, we have Aramex, and of course post-Laju, and then Ninja Van, all competing, and all on the back of this rise of e-commerce. But hey, there's only that many parcels being delivered. So it's all about cost, right? How can you deliver your parcels at the lowest price point?
And also, how do you execute on this plan? Because I'm not a big fan of having drones fly about everywhere. Maybe I'll buy a paintball gun to I don't know. I'll just keep it as decoration. But how are these channels going to be flying around, right? All these drones are going to be all over the place.
There was no pun intended, right?
Oh, no, none whatsoever. But these guys are all going to be in the air. So are we going to have sky highways? Are the air control authorities going to legislate how this is done?
Safety and privacy, yeah, right?
I think Australia, Canberra has done this, but that's under the purview of their regulator.
Yeah, so the US has also recently allowed a drone deliveries, but with the caveat that it must comply with their FAA regulations and that drones cannot fly above, I think, 400 meters. Regulation is really the biggest hurdle towards drone deliveries, because in terms of technology, the technology has been in existence for years. So drone deliveries could have been happening as early as 2-3 years ago. In fact, drone deliveries in some countries are already happening. Zipline, which is a company that does drone deliveries for blood supplies, they've been operating in Rwanda for years, and they've done to date about 26,000 deliveries. And it's a good example of how drones can be used not just for delivery of retail commerce packages, but also for life-saving technologies. So that's going to be interesting to see how it develops. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.